Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're diving into the next couple of tiers of running backs here. We're looking at two of them because one of them, well, frankly, is pretty small. It's basically, we'll call it the Nick Chubb tier. So we're looking at second contract guys, really, with multiple year windows, right? So that's actually Nick Chubb. Or two-year windows, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. I don't feel a ton of confidence thereafter in a lot of these guys. And so there's like, you know, there's a bunch of guys on second contracts, but guys like Dalvin Cook, Kamara, Derrick Henry, Zeke, Joe Mixon, Eckler, Carson, who's on really a one-year deal, and Aaron Jones, they're on multiple year deals, like mixes of it, but they all have potential outs in the next 12 to 18 months, really. So I've put everyone basically in their own tier of starters in a 1 year window. So it's honestly what I'm trying to guard against, right? I don't want to make super high leverage bets in that range because there's a lot of risk there. You know, a lot of 27, 28 year old guys really looking much more like one-year backs than anything, maybe more than that, in terms of safety. And so you got to be careful in that range. So I really only have Chubb. I think like he could be cut next year, but it's financially unlikely. So I just don't think that's something that's all in the offing. So I figured I'd put him in his own tier. Again, I might have some of those other guys over him, but I think in terms of risk profiles, he's an interesting one of safety. And, you know, if you wanted to pivot from some of the guys around him that might have only 1 year of security. Likewise, I'm looking at guys, rookie contracts that are on a one-year deal. And maybe there's, you know, I don't think that there's contract tags or anything like that coming for this group, but you never know. So it's Nick Chubb's in the two-year window on a second contract, and then rookie contracts on a one-year deal basically at this point. David Montgomery, Saquon Barkley, and Miles Sanders. So let's start with Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, running back 13 on the season, 15.5 points per game. And he was he's actually 13th in terms of points per game, 12th in terms of total points. So, again, right there, running back 1-2 type fringe. Kareem Hunt's potential out, so that's, I think, a notable feature of it. Cleveland ranked 23rd in terms of plays per game at 60. Designed pass rate, 55.2% was the 26th highest, so we're looking down at the bottom quarter of the league in terms of pass friendliness. Again, so going towards the rush. Problem is sort of low volume. All right, so that's the sort of you know, the balance there, if you will, is you get a team that runs a good percentage, but they don't run a ton of plays. So when you look at it, you know, I look at a metric, and I actually, because I think it distinguishes a little bit from, you know, some of the teams that have quarterback rushing and the like. I look at design rush rate. So it's basically design passing rate. It's basically total plays minus design passing plays, right? So design rushing plays, and that is for them 24.9 design rush attempts per game. That's good for 11th. So again, that's good, but when you add it up, like it's not super high. It's good. It's above median. But when you look, you know, the top, you know, New Orleans, for example, had more than 30 carries per game, right? 30 design rushes per game. That's more than it's more than a 6 rush advantage, right, between 11th and first. And then when you look at, you know, that's basically the difference between 11th and 32nd, right? So that's a big difference in terms of that. You can think, okay, top half, but it's a big difference from there. So I think that's notable. Again, it's a relatively friendly volume atmosphere, but I don't think it's anything. You know, if people are trying to say, oh, look, and this is a really good, great volume situation, run heavy situation, I would sort of push back on that a little bit. 13.1 expected points per game for Chubb. And he performed at 15.5. So again, you look at that, like there's a little overperformance in the rushing yards, for example. He's more than, he's about 250 rushing yards over expectation, about half a touchdown over expectation. I mean, he only played 14 games too. So when you sort of take that 250 out over 14 games, right, that's a sizable improvement on a per game basis in terms of rushing yards. So that's pretty good there. The touchdowns fairly good. Receiving stuff's a little bit over in terms of receiving yards, about 30 over in terms of receiving yards. Not making a huge, huge difference, but you know, you get the idea. Like he's an overperformer in terms of yardage. A lot of the more forced missed tackle stuff, for example, he forces a missed tackle once every four carries, and that is good for a sixth in the league. So again, that's some good stuff there. I think when you sort of look at it, the volume is kind of capped. I looked at qualifiers at the running back position, and I just sort of ranked some of their stuff. In terms of, I had 77 qualifiers meet my threshold. He ranked 46th in terms of routes per game, 68th in terms of targets per game. You know, so and then sixth in terms of missed tackles for. So only running 13.2 routes per game, like a big. That's kind of a cap ceiling type situation. So you wonder if in that range, you know, he makes a pivot, you make a pivot maybe from a Kamara to him or something like that. But I think you could make some of these pivots, and some of these pivots might be interesting. And honestly, I think this is a year very much that could go either way. You could have Nick Chubb worth more than Kamara in a league. You could have Nick Chubb worth less than Kamara in another league. So I do think a lot of these things are all over the place. You know, you have Barkley all over the place as well, right? You know, so you've got a lot of these guys. I think there's mixes and matches. I would try a lot of different things about trying to arbitrage these guys back and forth. So I think that's really the main thing that I would say. Keep Trade Cut has Chubb right about running back 12. Again, kind of right where he finished. And that's in a tier with a guy like Dalvin Cook, Cam Akers, Saquon, Derrick Henry. They're all really close together there, sort of in that range. And you really look like, I think the way that Keep Trade Cut defines a tier, and I'm not sure what their technical definition of it is, but they have one tier going from running back 7, which is Joe Mixon, all the way to running back 19, which is Elijah Mitchell. So when you look at some of those guys, if you're going to say, all right, like how do we sort of exploit this? Well, you know, numerically, there's a big difference between 31 overall, which is Joe Mixon at running back 7, you know, versus running back 18 and Josh Jacobs, 17 and David Montgomery, right? They're right at 59 and 61 overall, 59 for Montgomery at running back 17, 61 for Jacobs at running back 18. That's a really tight range. And so you get a guy like Chubb fitting in there, Barkley fitting in there, Kamara fitting in there, Montgomery fitting in there, right? You get Mixon up at the top of that, Dalvin Cook. You have a ton of variety in that range. I think that's a place where you want to understand these guys and move between them, because basically all of the guys we're talking about are sort of in this tier, which I think is interesting. So that's it. I mean, I think from, you know, 20, the team, I would say, is a little bit you know, Chubb overperforms it in terms of the role that he had, right? 13.1, he averaged about, 15.5 points per game, so a couple points per game over. So, again, that's good. Expected yards per route run this year was 0.76. The actual yards per route run was 0.94. So, again, good improvement there. Last year, basically the same numbers, 0.72 last year in terms of expected points per route run this year, or expected yards per route run rather, this year yards per route run 0.95. So again, that same, you know, mid 0.72, 0.76, right, sort of in that mid 0.7 range, up into the mid 0.9 range. That's sort of the juice that we're getting. So good, that's a good performance for Chubb overall, would be sort of the thought that I would say. And then you look at their situation in terms of running backs, 28th in terms of routes per dropback, 27th in terms of targets per dropback, 27th in terms of receptions per dropback, but actually 21st in terms of yards per dropback. So you sort of look, that matches performance over expectation, right? That matches yards per route run, him being better, right? That doesn't lie in terms of the team stats. There's probably some Kareem Hunt in there as well. So Kareem Hunt, $6.5 million cap hit this year, potential that he's gone, right? So that's one thing that I'd watch for. D'Ernest Johnson as a backup, I think, is serviceable. So there's a lot of the periphery around Nick Chubb, I think, is interesting. He's a good player, probably more security maybe in this tier than a lot of the other players in the tier, which is interesting. I'm not sure he has the same ceiling as some other guys, but it's a four ceiling debate. I would probably err towards not being, I have a couple of preferences in this range, right? I've talked about Jacobs. I'll talk about Montgomery here in a minute. I'd probably more err towards the later guys and try and take multiple shots on them than go, you know, up and take a shot on Dobbins or mix in the like, Gibson, Cook, you know, Akers, Chubb, that type earlier on at the position. So just for what that's worth generally. All right, let's flip to Montgomery here. So again, these are rookie contract guys. These are particular Montgomery right in the window here of being an extension type candidate. So we'll see new front office, new coaching staff. We'll see sort of how that all handles itself. There's a little bit of uncertainty there. I would just a little pause on that. However, Montgomery 3-for-3 in terms of hits. He's overperformed what I thought he would do coming in. I thought he couldn't get out of his own way. And I think he's done a better job than I expected. So good on him. Running back 19 finished last year. 3.8 targets per game. He's 14th in terms of points per game at 15.3. But actually 9th in terms of expectation. So underperformed expectation, which I think is interesting. And so when you break down some of it about maybe why he was, you know, what his expectation might have been, there's some problems with the Nagy stuff for sure. But 1.8 points per game under expectation. He's a little under in touchdowns, right? He was expected for 8.3. He got 7. He was about 130 yards under expectation in terms of rushing yards. He's a touchdown and a half under receiving touchdowns, right? It was expected for about 1.6 actually and had 0. But when you look at the other side of it, it's interesting. So you could say, all right, well, the rushing yards is under expectation. Maybe that's actually him underperforming. When you look at the receiving yards, he's overperforming. So he had 301 receiving yards. He was expected for 262. He had three more receptions, actually 3.4 more receptions than expected. So when you look at that, I don't think it paints a picture of a player who's necessarily underperforming his situation overall, right? I think there's a little bit of give and take there about it, right? You could say, well, the rushing stuff, it probably should be better. Yeah, maybe, but he's actually, in the receiving context, he's better. He's actually better at catching the ball. He underperforms in terms of touchdowns by the tune of about, you know, he should have basically 10 touchdowns and he had 7. And that's only on 13 games. So you could say all of a sudden you start looking at that and you could say, all right, like if we sort of extrapolate out a little bit more, we could be talking about a 12 to 15 touchdown guy if sort of everything gets right. I'm bullish. I'm very bullish on Montgomery. Some of the stats that I really like about him, in terms of routes per game, he was 8th, which I think is really interesting, at 22.2. That's, a really good number. 3.8 targets per game. That's 14th. That's good, right? Missed tackles forced. He's basically above the median at 5.9. Forces a missed tackle once every 5.9 carries. That's good for a 35th best pace in the league. So, again, that's good. The yards per route run is about the median. He's slightly below the median in terms of expectation. So then when you look at it, he's well above in terms of percentage over expectation. So again, I think he's really good in terms of all of the things. Is it an elite situation? Probably not. But is he a good player in a situation where maybe we could get some benefit from an improved offense? Yeah, I think that's a really interesting one. And then when you look at what I always think this is interesting, when you compare, when you start comparing the comps Spotrac has for contracts, I think it's a really fascinating one. They project him for a $12.9 million annual salary. Kamara, right, has the comps for that. Kamara, Cook, Mixon, Aaron Jones. By far, the cheapest one of all of those players is David Montgomery. So that would be sort of the thing that I would just be really interesting looking forward to. I think Montgomery is an interesting buy low at this point. He's basically being treated on like a one-year window sort of in the range that he's going. For example, when you look at keep, trade, cut, guys going after him include... you know, Jacobs is there. Elijah Mitchell is there. So this is a guy's on a couple-year window. Michael Carter, we'll see. I don't love how much security that is. You know, and then you have A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, right? You start really looking at guys that have kind of one-year deals. Zeke, Damian Harris, how much comfort we have with them. You know, we've talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't think this year it's as linear as maybe it was last year. If there's a little bit of an amorphousness, and maybe by, you know, June that'll clear itself up. But I do think when you sort of look, if you take him there, I don't think you're missing on, again, at that time of the position, you shouldn't be missing anything too extreme. But I don't think you're taking too much of a risk there on the back half of this contract or anything like that with the change in coaching staff. I think it's a really interesting investment point. So, and again, if you started off with him as your running back one and we're sort of to try and play, you know, play the volume game around it, I think that's great. And I don't think he's an innings eater as much as, like, I do think that he has more than just that in him. All right, where you could say some of these other guys might just be innings eaters. Like, what's a Clyde Edwards-Helaire? He's maybe at best he's an innings eater. I do think that Montgomery can make a difference in the running back one landscape in a healthy season. I you know, we've seen him have top eight finishes, and I really like that about him. So I'm on board with him, and this was not a player that I really liked coming out of college. So I do think, you know, when those situations happen, if there's people that, you know, haven't been following along as sort of long as I've been doing this, when those situations present themselves, I do think I should talk about them. And he's one that's absolutely changed my mind. So good on him. And it's funny because he's changed my mind. And at the same time, people that were high on him are now low on him. So take that for what it's worth. All right, Saquon Barkley. And here's one. You know, I've seen him count to Marshall Faulk. I think that's absolutely unfair to Marshall Faulk. You know, Barkley's, I don't think a... I think with Barkley, you have to start from the premise of, okay, what... Like, it hasn't been good. And if you're not starting there, right, if you're starting with well bought or yeah bought or, you know, whatever excuse you want to sort of levy, that's fine, but you're not being honest about him. You're just not. And so as you sort of look at him, I think you have to, you know, you have to be a little bit skeptical of his profile right now. And just look at stuff that is totally independent of what is around him, right? So not did he score touchdowns, and I, you know, you could sort of make that argument, well, oh, it was a terrible offense, like... We'll get there in a second, but just look at simple things like, you know, what did he do right when given the opportunity? Well, he forced a missed tackle once every 8.1 carries. Okay. 61st out of 77 qualifiers, right? Once every 8.1 carries. Okay. Nick Chubb did it once every 4 carries. David Montgomery did it once every 5.9 carries. Okay. That is not a good number. Okay. That is not a good number. So that would sort of be the initial thing that I would talk about with him. that is down, right? That was actually last year. Again, it was a minimal sample size. It was once every 6.3 carries. 2019, once every 5.2 carries. 2018, once every 6.5 carries. So this is something that has gotten actually improved off of his first year to his second year, and then it's just cratered, right? So that's the initial thing. The PFF grade, 91 to 83 to 62. That was the shortened year in 2020. And then to 65, right? So this is by far his worst full season in terms of that stuff. So those things that give me some pause. 51st in terms of elusiveness. That's not good. That's not good. So I sort of look at these things, and it gives me a lot of it gives me a lot of pause about where he's at this position. And people saying, listen, he has a high ceiling. I think at this point you have to have a lot of faith, right? You have to have a lot of belief without evidence, especially when you consider the fact that he hasn't overperformed Devontae Booker. And that's something that, I will maybe keep coming back to, maybe harping on, is a fair way to say it. I don't know. But when you start looking at these situations and you say, all right, you're going to make excuses for players, what excuses are we making, right? And are they reasonable excuses? You could pitch to me the idea that, hey, listen, the situation wasn't that good. You could pitch that to me. However, Saquon Barkley was 19th in terms of expected points per game and performed at 31st in actual points per game, right? So even if you say that the situation wasn't great, I mean, top 20 is not nothing, right? We're not talking about a destitute, it's like the Bad News Bears playing against the 85 Bears, right? Like, we're not doing that type of thing. He's top 20 in terms of expected points per game. That's not even aggregating. That's on a per game basis. So and underperformed it. So I have a lot of pause about where he's at in this offense. All told, when you look at it, Booker, for example, better than him in terms of some of the grading stuff as well, right? You start looking at these things and you say, all right, well, where does he overperform him? Well, Booker, better PFF grade, for example. Barkley does slightly better after contact, which is notable, but yards per carry, Booker was at 4.1, 3.7 for Barkley. We don't necessarily love that stat, but I think that bears mentioning. Booker broke tackles at a worse rate than Barkley did, so that's notable. Once every 12.1 carries, you could look at that and say, all right, well, maybe there's something more going on. Look, Barkley, did it better than his teammate. Okay, but yards per route run, 1.06 yards per route run for Booker, 1.02 yards per route run for Barkley. And all of a sudden you start saying to yourself, what are we doing here? If he can't outproduce Devontae Booker, and that's no offense to Devontae Booker, but he's a journeyman at this point. He's absolutely a journeyman on this point. And this is a profile that he should be crushing, right? He's had carries on, this is his third team. He played for Denver, and basically each year that Denver had him, they played him less. Then he goes to Vegas, and then he comes to the Giants. And the Giants' response to this entire season is to say, all right, we're going to give him the second most carries of his career. That's what we're going to do. He's going to get the second most carries of his career. And it's in a game, in a season where, Barkley played, he played weeks 1 through 5 and then 11 through 18. He basically missed like about a month and a half or so in the middle of the season. And that includes a bye. I struggle with that, with those sets of facts, to paint a picture of an elite ceiling. And it points to me as more of a player that I don't know if he's ever going to meet hit. You know, I don't know where I necessarily put his career in the context of history. But as I sit here right now, I have a lot of, I mean, I don't know, you know, if the argument is, well, he theoretically has a higher upside over a guy like, you know, David Montgomery, that's why he's going against him. I mean, I guess, or going ahead of him, I guess. But I just don't see at this point. I mean, Montgomery's younger than him. I don't see at this point how we sort of we round that, you know, about how we round that square. You know, Kamara's going after him at keep trade cut. You know, so I and they're similarly aged. It's a year difference. So I look at all these situations with Barkley, and it gives me a lot of pause about how, you know, if people are writing off the situation and saying the situation was bad, the situation wasn't maybe ideal, but let's not, again, and this is the Joe Burrow thing, right? And this is the thing we were talking about in the group me chat, and I've been sort of railing against. You know, Joe Burrow isn't rushed. Isn't this woe is me type of pass rush situation, right? He's terrible at taking sacks on pressure is what he is. He's not pressured at that extreme of a rate. He's actually, below the median in terms of pressure rate. You know, so more guys last year were pressured more frequently than he was than weren't, right? So when you sort of look at that, you could say, you know, what is he responsible for? Well, he was sacked like the third most times of his pressures, right? That's ultimately on him. That's not an offensive line issue. That's on Joe Burrow. Get rid of the football, especially when there's pressure in your face. And so we see with this Barkley situation, right, expected for 13.8 points per game. Again, that's not – we're not talking about, you know, the greatest season on earth, but you don't – like, if he has elite ceiling, match that, right? Match that. It's 19th, right? Match it. And he performs at 31st. It just gives me a lot of pause about where he's at. Because if he's got this elite ceiling, he should be performing top 10 finishes with a you know, expected points per game rank around 19. That's what he should be doing, and he's not. It gives me a ton of pause. So that's really my skepticism there on Barkley. And, you know, that's, I think it'll be, he's an interesting one in terms of, I think the cost needs to be under control. I'm going to use him definitely as an upgrade piece in some trades, but that's really where I am on him at the present. I'm going to look for ways to pivot. And I'll probably do some trade stuff on him specifically this week. I'm just going to do, me talking some trades on some guys, and I'll just include him in some 10 trade stuff. But yeah, definitely with him, I gives me a lot of pause. I think we have to look at ways to exit, especially now that 2023 picks in some of these leagues are coming out. Cross-positionally plus picks, I think, makes a ton of sense if you can figure out a way to pull that off. All right, Miles Sanders is one that I think I'm going to ride as a potential uptick guy. I think it's weird because he gets hurt, and then they change the offensive system in a way that's benefits the running backs. And you're like, wait a second. Like, why would you? Right? It's like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we're not going to give, you know, your unit, you know, this important project, but you go on vacation, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, all the people in your unit get this new assignment. And then you come back from vacation, you're like, well, what the hell? This is what I've wanted all along. And they're like, oh, yeah, we just decided when you were gone to make this change. You, wait a second, what? Right, that's kind of what it felt like with Miles Sanders. And so I think that there is some, you know, that there's some question maybe about how they treated him and about even when he comes back, it's not entirely his job, right? There's still some committee stuff going on there. And you could take a couple of things with that. You could say, you know, I tend to read into that like, hey, there's concerns there, right? He hasn't seen more than 179 attempts in his career, right? I could sort of point to those things and be like, all right, there's probably legitimate you know, and this, you're across a couple coaching staffs at this point. He's never truly been a full-on bell cow at any given point. But when you look at some of the stuff, I think it's interesting. Like, he doesn't break tackles at a particularly big rate, but when you look at, he's more of a home run hitting running back. 31st in terms of elusiveness. So again, that's about the median, maybe a little bit better than that. But 35% of his rushing yards came on breakaway runs, which is basically, you know, yards, I think it's 15 or more that tracked by PFF, 15 yards or more. That's sixth amongst qualifiers. Penny, Justin Jackson, Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook, and Nick Chubb. Is that a group of running backs that we would want to, you know, select out of? That's a pretty good group of running backs. That's a pretty interesting subset there. So I do think when you look at him, I think that's interesting. On one hand, I want them to throw the ball a ton more because I want Goddard to be the breakout candidate that I'm sort of pledging my allegiance to. But at the same time, if there's going to be a ton of running stuff, I think it's a, you know, there's some room here for Miles Sanders. When you look at him in terms of points per game, expected, he was at 11. He actually performed 9.8. So that's an underperformance, you know, of 1.2 points per game. And he played 12 games. Again, I think that if your criticism of him is he's been unable to stay in the lineup, like there's, I think, some realness to that concern. You know, how predictive that is an entirely different story for another day. But 32nd in terms of expected points per game, 43rd, excuse me, in actual points per game. So he did underperform that. So, you know, I would say from that perspective, it's a okay. There's some limitations there. However, when you start looking at it, I actually think that some of it's probably some bad puck luck. He overperformed rushing yards by 154. He was about even in terms of receiving yards. He underperformed receiving touchdowns by one. He underperformed rushing touchdowns by 3.6. You know, so all of a sudden you start looking at a player who, you know, is over by, you know, we'll call it 150 yards and under by almost five touchdowns, we'll call it. If you start, you know, meshing those two together, right, an overperformer in terms of the yards and meeting expectations in terms of rushing touchdowns, like that's pretty interesting. So I do think there's, you know, as you sort of look at these in a couple of different ways, I think, you know, there's a scenario there which he could really outproduce his cost. And one of the things I like about him in particular is that he can outproduce his cost from a place that isn't particularly dangerous to lose from, right, or miss from. So, for example, he's after Aaron Jones. He's after Zeke. I think that those are appropriate. He's in a tier of guys, Damian Harris, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders. It's Tony Pollard, Kareem Hunt, Ramondre Stevenson, Leonard Fournette, you know, Devin Singletary. I think there's a variety of different types of guys in that range. But again, I like him over Clyde Edwards-Helaire in terms of making a difference. You know, this thing I was listening to, and I want to do a little bit more work on this, but it's the batting average versus the slugging percentage, right? If, you know, maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire hits, you know, but the slugging percentage of it is, you know, if to use the baseball reference, it was something discussed about, you know, the difference basically that, you know, how often the Rams hit on some of their, you know, some of their picks or some of their trades and the like, you know, that they've made. But when they've hit, it's made a big, big difference, right? You're talking Von Miller, you're talking Stafford. Like the guys that they've hit on have made a big difference. I think Sanders is one of those guys that, you know, maybe it's not for a full season, right? But I do think he is the type of profile that can be really efficient here going forward, and even if it's necessary in maybe a smaller sample size. Some of the stuff I'd maybe be a little bit paused with is the targets per route run, for example, isn't particularly high. You know, he underperforms yards per route run expectation, for example. But, you know, at his cost, there's enough there that keeps me interesting that I'm saying, all right, if we're going to be talking, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th round, somewhere in that range, and we're not going tight end, what are we going to do? Oh, here's a running back that I think could make a difference from there and is probably a starter, right? I think as of right now, I would place him to be a starter. After that, I mean, Singletary, maybe you say that about, you know, Leonard Fournette, he's a free agent, probably be a starter. You know, and I'd probably take Fournette over Sanders. But, you know, how good do you feel about Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You know, what's the total difference-making upside of Damien Harris? Again, I probably like Harris more than Sanders, right? So as you start looking in that, again, it's a range of running backs I like generally, but you could pitch me either way. You know, I think probably that my answer would be Harris over Sanders just because, like, we already kind of know what Harris can do, and I don't think his role is going to change terribly much, and it's more of a projection on Miles Sanders, and I don't even know if he, you know, got to an elite projection if he could sort of outdo what Damien Harris could do, right? So I think that's kind of the rub there on him. I think if he's not going to be a big receiving-centric guy, it's more he's going to need to look a lot like Damien Harris to be a big-time difference maker. Maybe he just doesn't have that in his profile, and that's holding him back. I think that would probably be why I would take Harris over him. But if you were to tell me, like, hey, one of these two guys has a bigger, you know, one of these two guys is going to finish in the top, you know, 8 at the position, who would it be? My bet would probably be Sanders, just because I think he's got a little bit more dynamic features to his profile than a lot of the guys in this range, including Harris. So I think that's an interesting bet. You know, I'd probably take the double on Harris more than trying to swing for the fences on a low probability triple, something like that, for Miles Sanders to complete out the baseball metaphor. So that'll pretty much you know, put a wrap on these guys. Again, I talk about these guys, got in depth here, tried to incorporate some other things, went a little bit longer than I expected, but I hope that's helpful. So some guys that I do think are interesting, again, overall, Montgomery is a target here. We're pivoting off of Barkley as sort of a thought, and I think Sanders is a good spec bet, right? I think that's really the big thing, and then, you know, how much can we pivot in sort of the range that some of these guys are in, I think is pretty interesting. So all right, hope that helps. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.